It's not often that when we're ready to share the sermon that I come out here with this big Bible, but I wanted to show you a couple of things and to just go back. I left my smaller Bible at Scoresby, so I had to go and get it one day, and this is my ordination Bible, which also was your Bible, and somebody took it, and I hope that they're able to read. I wanted to show you that the pages, can you see the pages in John's Gospel? If you look at the rest of the Bible, can you see where the most worn pages are? Do you think that the Gospel of John might be my favourite Gospel? I want to share with you. I should have checked with Wes. Can you remember what the theme was of last week's service?
I was here.
The branches? And
yes.
That's
right. And then we under the branches.
That we belong as branches to the vine, and the word abide came into that reading as well as our reading. I guess that we all treasure, especially after we saw some of Anzac Day. There was at least three that I saw that sang the hymn, "Abide with Me," "Fast Falls the Heaven." It's a favourite of lots of people. And what I wanted to show you is before, just to put our reading into context, because I think it's really important. Because the chapters that go before it, in 14, for instance, are those amazing words, "Do not let your heart be troubled." How often have we heard that? Especially at services of thanksgiving for somebody's heart, life. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." And all these chapters beforehand, before 15, is a preparation for the disciples in preparation for Jesus' own death. And so he's preparing them. And now the Gospel of John and the letter of John is being read to people, you know, a couple of centuries later, who are being persecuted, who are having really tough times. And they are the community that are hearing these words about what God is saying and through Jesus about what it means to talk about love. So why would it be important to put this into context? It needs to be put into context because we all know what's happening in our world. We all know what's happening in our community. And we've seen hundreds and thousands of people gather in the streets saying, "Hey, we want everybody to know that abuse is enough. It has to stop." And sometimes I think about, okay, we're going to talk about abuse, then maybe we should have connected it to war as well. And said to the rest of the community, "This has got to stop." So, although the context might be a little bit different, this is what the word is saying to us today. That in amongst everything that is happening, the assurance that God loves us and that he calls us friends. Tell me about, have you got a friend? Yes, you can see. Have you got one friend? Have you got two friends? Have you got lots of friends? I have certainly felt the power of having friends over the last month. And I don't think that I would have survived without it. And you can say, well, you have faith in that. Yes, that helps. Of course it does. But to know that a friend cares enough to send you a text message or a times when friendship becomes so important. But it's also the time when you think that you had a friend and that friend was really a friend. So all sorts of things come out of that. Is friendship important to you? Yes? Why is it important? Don't be shy. We're all here together. Why is friendship important? What does friendship mean to you? So friendship does mean a lot, doesn't it? Wonder what it means for Jesus to call us friends. Last week we learned that we needed to be connected. You know, branches need to be connected to the rest of the tree, don't they? And if we're talking about vines, especially in vines, I think a couple of services ago, I shared with you that I used to work in Wales at the general store, which was also the post office and the telephone exchange. And if somebody rang, you'd have to put the little thing in the thing, and I used to say, just hold on a minute and I'll connect you. I'll connect you. And sometimes I feel as though on Sunday mornings I just want to say to you, hey, just be still and I'll connect you. Hey, I'll connect you to the one who gives us life. It is so important. Yet Jesus said, we are to be bearers of fruit. Each of you are branches. You are connected so that we can represent Christ and the church wherever you go. Being connected and how is even more important for us today. You know, some people think that something like that, if he sees a movie or, you know, something about love, he always says, oh, I'll turn that off, it's so much fun. I think a lot of us talk about love in that way. Love is a really difficult word. There are some horrible things that are done in love. But we can't survive without it either. One of my most favourite verses from the letter of John is, God is love, and those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. Even people don't know that when you express and do something in love, that's the abiding thing about what God's love is for us. So what does love look like? Whenever, you know, Chloe is about to turn, my granddaughter, the youngest one, is about to turn 21 on the 28th of May. And I'll never forget when she was little, when I was about to leave, she would always rush out and she'd have to sit on my knee and pretend that she was driving the car. I think that quite a few of you who've had children have experienced that. And I've been really sad at the funeral. And she must have been aware that Omi was a bit sad. And she turned, she was sitting on my knee, and she turned around and she's riding my face, right? There's not much room between the steering wheel and me. And she's looking at my face, and she's as little as she was. She said, Omri, I know why you do what you do. And I said, so why does Omri do what Omri does? And she said, because I know that you love God. Because you love God. We exercise help love to others and live in love because we too love God. The gospel says that to abide in my love is so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may then be complete. How special is that? And there's more. This is my commandment. You know, we all know what commandments are. I looked it up on my computer. You do it when you get home. And it says order, proclamation, precept, manifesto, act, bill, ordinance. And then it said mandate. Mandate. This is my commandment, your mandate, that you love one another as I've loved you. No greater love than this is to lay down one's life for one's friends. Is this your mandate? Imagine how different a council meeting would be if the mandate was love, and you go down the agenda and you look at everything that is on a page and a half and you say, does this have to do with love? Are these conversations loving? I reckon council meetings would be very different. I want to share something with you in a moment. So I wonder what being connected to a vine and bearing fruit really means for us. It is answered by the question, so what does love look like? What does love look like? It looks like a cross, actually. It looks like a risen, crucified Lord who loves us so much he asks us to live in his love, a love that knows us by name, a love that connects us to himself, a love that enables us to love others and become Christ's friends and friends for each other. There's a wonderful story about a Negro lady, and I make apologies for I would never be able to talk like she does. She's a lady in Charleston, met this Negro lady. There was a servant of a neighbour who had died, and they got to know each other really well. And she goes to her and she says, I'm sorry to hear of your Aunt Lucy's death, she said, because that's what she called her. You must miss her greatly. You were such friends. Yes, ma'am, said the servant. I'm sorry she died, but we wasn't friends. Why, said the lady, I thought you were. I've seen you laughing and talking together lots of times. Yes, ma'am, that's so, came the reply. We've laughed together and we've talked together, but we were just acquaintances. You see, Miss Rose, we ain't never shed no tears. Folks got to cry together before they can be friends. Friends need to cry together. I love that. Jesus, our friend. Now God has cried with us and for us. He wept over Jerusalem. He wept at the tomb of Lazarus, probably one of his best friends. And he weeps over the world today. And he weeps with us when we are hurt, lost, afraid, or grieving. I don't know if you know or remember the name Philip Yancey. Does anybody know the name Philip Yancey? wrote a wonderful book called The Once So Unique About the Grace. And he says this in his book. He says, author and speaker Brennan Manning came up with a slogan, and the slogan is, I am the one Jesus loves. It sounds a little arrogant, doesn't it? But he is actually quoting scripture. Jesus' closest friends on earth, the disciple named John, is identified in the Gospels as the one that Jesus loved. Manning said, if John were to be asked, what is your primary identity in life? He would not reply, I'm a disciple, an apostle, an evangelist, an author, maybe of one of the four gospels. He would say, I am the one Jesus loves. What would it mean, he says, I ask myself, if I too came to a place where I saw my primary identity in life as the one that Jesus loved. How differently would I view myself at the end of the day? Socialists have a theory of the looking glass self. You become what the most important person is in your life. Your wife, or husband, wife, or boss. How would my life change if I truly believed the Bible's astounding words about God's love for me? If I looked in the mirror and saw what God saw? And he then says, Brennan Manning tells the story of an Irish priest who, on a walking tour of a rural parish, sees an old peasant kneeling by the side of the road, praying. Impressed, the priest says to the man, you must be very close to God. And the peasant looks up from his prayers, thinks for a moment, and then smiles and says, yes, he's very fond of me. What we see on our screens, on our television screens, that we can say, I can get through this because God loves me. Try it. When you wake up in the morning, tomorrow morning, and you might remember something of today, get up and say, this is the beginning of a new day, and I know that. God, thank you. Thank you that you prepared your disciples and gave them this wonderful news, which is news for each single one of us. It was almost like a graduation for the disciples. I have taught you everything. And he's asking them to live the life in all that they did and what he has taught. And this morning, we can say to each other and to you, thank you that you have taught us everything, that you have given us a mandate to love each other. And that in the letter of John, it is that conquers the world. That your love for us and our love for you has the power to conquer the world. That is amazing. mandate that you give to each one of us as we leave here this morning. We ask you that you might give us the strength to live out that mandate. Surround us. Uphold us. We might be able to show people what real love is all about. And by doing so, we might see change not only in people's lives, but in the community in which we live and in the world. As we ask.